I believe I have a cadet reader for the scriptures, is that right? Here, come on up here. He's going to be reading from Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9, so I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, and we'll read Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9.
These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed to me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing, the Jordan, to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy life. Hear, Israel, be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on door frames of your houses and on your gates.
For many years, farmers have done this thing, this practice called branding. And any of you who grew up in the country will know what branding is, but I imagine many of us need to be explained what branding is. It's when a farmer takes a hot iron and they press it into the back of an animal, usually a cow or a horse, and it puts a symbol or it puts an initial on the back of that animal, so the farmer has marked it as theirs, kind of like a permanent sticker, like Len was showing us earlier. And you might wonder, why would farmers do this thing? It's quite cruel, it seems. And the answer from farmers, they would tell you, is that because they need to know whose are theirs. It would be normal for farmers to be side by side, and they'd have cows grazing in pastures that are side by side. And cows would regularly break through a fence and go into the neighbor's cow's field, and there they are all mixed up. Well, the farmers would then go out to their fields and they'd look at these cows, and all they would need to do is look at the brand, look at the initials and say, ah, that's my cow, that's my cow. That one belongs to me, and they could bring their cows back to their pasture. Branding is about belonging. And cadets, that's what the theme you've picked this year is all about. This idea of belonging to Christ, being branded in Christ. And if you were here last week, this text would have been great for the baptism we witnessed, because little Nolan Hayward, I don't know if he's here, but we all witnessed little Nolan get branded in Christ. The mark for those in Christ is baptism, and Nolan became part of the community that is set apart from the rest of the world, branded as a unique person in God's family. That's what our text is all about. Now, you've picked Deuteronomy 6 as your theme text, and this is such a rich text. In fact, I wish I could preach two sermons on it. If I go too long, you'll realize I'm trying to preach two sermons on it, but I'm going to focus on the part that you've selected as your theme text. The context of Deuteronomy 6 is Moses near the end of his life. He's reminding the Israelites of where God has taken them, how he's delivered them from Egypt, how he's delivered them from slavery. He's reminding them of where God is taking them across the Jordan into this abundant land of Canaan. And like a good grandfather at the end of his life, he is exhorting them, saying, follow the Lord with your whole heart, your whole strength, your whole soul. Give him everything, because if you do, you will thrive. You will experience the abundant life, a flourishing of life. That's Moses' sermon. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy, he's like a good grandparent who knows how to repeat himself over and over and over again. He would fail a grammar test, but it's a great book. Now, this text has so much to it. And central to Deuteronomy 6, if you read through it, is this idea of hearing and obeying and listening to the commands. You know, if you read Deuteronomy 5, you'll realize that central to the whole book of Deuteronomy is the law of God, the Ten Commandments, which we read regularly in our church. And what's interesting is that the Israelites knew that what set them apart from all the nations that surrounded them was the presence of God and the law of God. And if the Israelites were to be this branded community set apart from all the other nations, what made them distinct were these things. And if they wanted to experience that setting apart, obedience to the law would be central. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word law, we don't think positive things. I remember not so long ago, I was meeting with a young guy, and we were talking about our faith. And he shared with me quite honestly, he said, you know, when I think of Christianity, I think of rules and regulations and do this and don't do this. And he was put off by that. That's what Christianity was all about. And you know what I said to that young guy? I said, you got it all wrong. And I said to him, once you're a parent, you'll understand the goodness of the law. Because when God gives the law to the people, and if you read in Deuteronomy 5 or Exodus 20, he gives these laws and you think, oh, they're laws. But listen to what he says. Worship him only. Don't make other images. Don't bow down to other things. Honor the Sabbath. Honor your parents. No murder, no adultery, no coveting, no lying, no stealing. All of these things protect people. And none of us, I assure you, none of us want to live in a world where all of those things are abandoned. And anyone can do whatever they want, whenever they want, at the time they want to do. That would be chaos. And if you want to understand the law, picture a loving father who wants to see the best for his kids. And then you'll understand why God says, these are the boundaries. These are the laws that are going to set you apart. And if you obey, you're going to flourish. Life is going to go well for you. If you don't obey, it's going to lead to your own destruction, your pain, and your brokenness. But if you obey, you will experience the flourishing of human life. Now, I want to give you a great example of this. Just a few weeks ago, Brittany and I were sharing a meal with some friends of ours, and they had two teenage kids who just got these fancy things called cell phones. They're not that fancy anymore because everyone's got them. And they were sharing with me that once their children got cell phones, they started to institute some rules. You see, the kids couldn't just have a cell phone. There were some rules they had to abide by. There was times they weren't allowed to use them. They weren't allowed taking them to school and wasting time on them. They weren't allowed having all sorts of apps. There was restrictions on which apps they could use and where they could use the phone. And perhaps you think as a teenager or a younger boy, wow, that's pretty restrictive. That's so hard. Like, why would they make it so hard for their kids? And me listening, knowing that I'm going to have kids who grow up and want cell phones, thinks, this is genius. Here's parents who love their kids. And this isn't something they do to be cruel. This is something they do because they want to see their kids flourish. And any parent of a teenage boy or girl knows that these can be a source of blessing and these can be a source of destruction. And rules are given because parents love their kids. This is the reason why God gives the law and why Moses says over and over and over again, obey the law. And if you want to think of the best word for the law, it's instruction. Without instruction, you don't know how to live. With the law, you know how to live. And I want to say, secondly, that the law isn't just so that Israel might flourish, that their families might flourish, that their friendships might flourish, that their work would flourish, but that the world would see what life looks like under God's rule. That is to say, the law isn't just good for you and me, it's good for your friends, it's good for your neighbors, it's good for people across the world. That the Ten Commandments protect everybody, not just you and me. I read just recently that the command for Sabbath, as one former British Prime Minister said, is the most radical protection of anybody in labor, specifically the poor and the slaves around the world. The Sabbath protects people. This is a law for everybody. And God's intention, you know, a lot of times we think about God giving the land. He gives them Canaan, which is in the center of the ancient Near East. Why does he do that? Have you ever asked that question? Why does he give them this land? Well, if you read Mike Goheen's famous book, Light to the Nations, you'll know that the reason that God gives them that land is because the nations need to see what life looks like when people obey God's law. And Deuteronomy 4, which we referenced earlier in their service, envisions the nation sort of walking by Israel and saying, wow, Look at the way they raise their kids when they obey the law. Wow, look at the way that the poor are protected and marriage is protected and family life is protected and our possessions are protected and to be shared. This is an amazing community that's branded in God. That's what Deuteronomy 4 envisions. The nation seeing it and saying, wow, that is attractive. Perhaps we should consider what makes this community so distinct. What any commentator on Deuteronomy 6 will realize is that this isn't an automatic thing. That God doesn't just give the law and immediately, poof, the nation becomes perfect. The nations around Israel see the beauty of the law. In fact, the point of Deuteronomy 6 and the point throughout Deuteronomy is that the people of Israel, from the seniors to the babies, all of whom would be listening to Moses, had to wholeheartedly, totally commit themselves to following God. That is to say, if they wanted to flourish, if they wanted the nations to see the goodness of the law, they need to say, I am wholeheartedly giving my whole life to God. Every piece of it, all the stuff I do, all of it is a loving response to God. And your theme text, do you guys know your theme text? Deuteronomy 6. Oh, see if we can remember. Just repeat it with me, mouth it with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your, and all your strength. Did you see my muscles there? The idea here is that every single person in God's community had to give every piece of their lives in loving response to God. And as they did that, then life would flourish. That was the goal. Every single piece of their lives. You know, you might see that the youth of our church are wearing these bracelets. You can't read it, but it says every square inch. And you're welcome to ask any one of the youth in the youth group about these, because the reason we wear them is because we are trying to affirm and remind ourselves every single week that every square inch of our lives and this world belongs to God, and we want to love Him and serve Him and honor Him with every single piece of it. So if you ever see the youth with that, you ask them, why are you wearing that bracelet? And they'll say, it's the same reason why people pray the prayer of Deuteronomy 6. We want to love the Lord with our whole heart, our soul, and our strength, every bit of our lives in loving response to Him. And you know what? If this takes root, this idea that our whole lives are a loving response of obedience to God, everything changes. Everything changes. You no longer do your work for a paycheck. You don't study in school just so you get good grades. You don't speak nicely to people just so you win their favor and they like you. You work because you love God. You do your studies because you love God. You do your speech and you are careful with your tongue because you love God. And in all of these things, you want to serve Him and obey Him and show Him, this is my whole life in obedience to you. And you know what I was thinking as I prepared this sermon, cadets? That when you love your parents, your mom and your dad, just picture this for a minute, you never trample all over or disobey them. The words that you'll see in Deuteronomy 6 are hear, obey, because those who love God will hear what He says, they will listen to what He says, and they'll obey. That's the movement of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, listen, obey. And let me tell you, when that starts to happen, people notice. When the people of God begin to hear and listen and obey, people start to notice. Let me share with you another story that happened in our church just a few years ago. Our young adults, many of whom are sitting up in the top there, we went camping to Cultus Lake, and there were about 40 of us, and we descended on that place. It was a busy start, and every time we come, it's just a flurry of setting up tents and setting up camp stoves, and people are everywhere. It's like an anthill. And we were spread out over 7 campsites, and right in the middle of those 7 campsites was an older couple camping all by themselves. And they saw us, and we saw them, and together we said, oh dear. And we just did our regular events. We had our activities. We did all sorts of games. We had our worship. We had food together. And at the end of the whole weekend, we were cleaning up, and Allison, one of our leaders, bumped into the lady who was camping right in the middle of us young adults. And they started having a conversation. And I could see them actually, and I was like, oh dear, I'm wondering what she's going to say. And this lady starts to share with Allison, you know, when you guys came here, I thought, oh no, this is the end of our weekend. And as she shared, she said, but you know what? I saw the way you hung out together. I saw the way you played games together. I saw the way you talked with each other. And she said, I was so moved to see you all sitting in a circle on a Sunday morning on one of the campsites and worshiping and reading the scripture. She said, that was so beautiful. Thank you for letting us camp beside you. And all that to say, people notice. You know, it wouldn't be the average young adult weekend that they were expecting, and they saw something different. You know, our young adults aren't perfect, but they noticed that we lived differently. Amen? Amen. The emphasis of Deuteronomy is obedience. And when you think of your theme text, cadets, this idea of love the Lord with your whole heart, your soul and your strength, every piece of your life, you think to yourself, how do I do this? And maybe you're like me, when I was preparing, I thought, this is just such a hard thing to do. Because when you wake up in the morning and you go through your routines, so many things lure you away. There are so many things that draw your heart away from the Lord. And I think just in one day, you are tempted to love yourself more than the Lord. You're tempted to love your technology and your stuff more than the Lord. You're tempted to love your wealth and your home more than the Lord. And you and I are so easily lured by the gods of our nation. You know, we often read the Old Testament, we say, man, those Israelites, they were so easily lured by the gods and the Baals of the neighbors beside them. And I think that same capacity to be lured away is you and me. And the gods of our nations are just as powerful, of wealth, of comfort, leisure, technology, just relaxing and doing whatever we want to do. That lures us away. This is a hard task. And the more you reflect on this prayer to love the Lord with your whole heart and soul and strength, you think, how do I do that? How do I do that? Martin Luther, in his reflection on this command to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, says, the whole gospel is in one word. Love the Lord your God. And that is to say, the God who we're called to love is a God who is radically for us. He is committed to us. And when he sees the way that we are lured by sin, the ways our hearts hold on to control, and we won't love him with all these pieces of our lives, he says, I'm going to deal with what holds you back. And in the cross and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God is saying, I will take that sin myself. I'll deal with the power of sin that pulls you away. I'll conquer Satan who lures you away, and I will create a new ability in you to follow my laws, and there, in so doing, flourish in your lives. Do you believe that? You know, one of my favorite texts in Romans, which we're preaching through, is Romans 5, verse 5. And it's where Paul says, for the love of God, who is for us, who is ours, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Which is to say, God in Christ didn't only defeat sin and Satan. He says, I'm going to give you my very self. And as I do that, I'm going to change you from the inside out. And you know what, cadets? One of my favorite things about being a youth pastor is seeing God do that work in our youth, in our young adults, and in our community at large. Slowly uproot those pieces of our lives we are clinging on to and not willing to love the Lord with, and slowly create an ability in us as his community to give God more of our lives, to say, Lord, you call for my whole life to be yours. Here is my finances. Here is my friendships. Here are my desires, ambitions for life. I give you all of that because I want to love you with my whole heart, my soul, and my strength. That's what God does in our community. Do you believe that? Amen. So are the commands to obey radical? Are they hard? Oh yeah. But do we do the obedience in the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit that is poured out on us? Oh yes. Let me conclude, cadets, with a few observations for you. When I was reflecting on Deuteronomy 6, I had so much I wanted to say. But let me say firstly, my prayer is that you really believe that you've been branded in Christ. When you were baptized and made part of the community of faith, God says, you're mine. You're part of my community. I own you in the best sense possible. And I want to see you flourish. Do you believe that, cadets? Oh, I need to see some heads nod. Do you believe that, cadets? A few more heads. Do you believe that, New West? Oh, amen. And secondly, cadets, I want to ask you a very important question. Are you willing to give your whole heart and soul and strength in a loving response to God? Are you? Yeah? A few head nods. New West, are you willing to give your whole lives to the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. You know, cadets, I want to just say that one of the things that I preach on, if I could do this text again, is that one of your primary callings to give your life to the Lord is to obey your parents. In this text, if I could preach it again, I'd preach it to the parents, and I would say, all of us as parents are called to raise our kids to know Christ. We need to bind the teachings of Scripture on our hearts, on our hands. They need to be on the doorposts of our house and the gates of our homes so that our kids know Christ. And it's our responsibility to feed you truth, to teach you to pray, to show you what godliness looks like. That's the call to God's community. And as children, your primary calling is to obey your parents. Now, cadets, are you willing to do that? I should probably ask that again. Now, I want to hear you say amen. Cadets, are you willing to obey your parents? And parents, are you willing to raise your kid? And New West, are you willing to raise these kids together with parents to know Christ? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for Deuteronomy 6, for this rich text that reminds us of your power, your goodness, your deliverance, and this very strong call to obedience. Lord, we recognize that loving you with our whole hearts and soul and strength is a very difficult task. And so we pray for your grace to permeate our lives, that you would uproot the sin, and that by your Spirit we would give you our whole hearts every day, every hour, in all of our lives. Lord, thank you that we go in the power of Christ and that you are patient and gracious. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.